will. We go before him. Father, we appreciate you so much. Lord, another opportunity. How they're so dear to our hearts, Father. And as time draws close to ending, Father, Lord, each moment we have, may we redeem it. Oh, Lord, holding on to every moment you give to us. Lord, using it wisely. Father, we may draw close to you, surrendering our lives totally to you. Lord, you've done everything for us. Lord, all we need to do is surrender. Give you our everything. Bless us tonight. Lord, whatever we have need of, strengthen us and encourage us. And Father, as we sing songs to prepare our hearts for your word, Lord, accept our praise and our worship. And Father, may it be by revelation coming from the depths of our heart. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, page 105. I think this is one of my favorite songs. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Do you love him tonight? Amen. In a manger long ago, I know it's really so, a babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore, oh Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, praise the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, oh Lord, be merciful, amen. Oh, he was forgiven of every sin, had a deep peace placed within. He said, come see this man from Galilee, amen. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sin, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to walk, the dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be the mercy of that man from Galilee.
Amen.
Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he done so very much for me.
Amen. Think about it.
He's forgiven all my sins. Praise the Holy Ghost with him. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Nicodemus came by night to know the way aright. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words he said to him, ye must be born again by the Spirit of that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love
all her sins did tell, how five husbands she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. Then she cried, come see the man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. Oh, he's forgiven all my sins, praise the Holy Ghost with him. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Do you really love him? Oh, what he's done for you, saints, should have such a love, such a, amen. Page 169, amen. Praise his holy name. Wonderful. He is to me.
Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is wonderful and mighty to deliver. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me absolute, Prince of Peace. Oh, mighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon the book of heaven. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me absolute, Prince of Peace. Oh, mighty God is. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a home, amen, right now. Day by day, all the way, having sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that home. Salvation, oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, oh, my God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is thy Redeemer, praise, amen. Oh, yes, he's wonderful, amen. Sing it, hallelujah. Counselor, Prince of Peace, oh mighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Amen. Oh, is he wonderful to you? Hallelujah. Amen. Page 145, I think it is. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him. Amen. Don't you want to crown Him? Amen. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all.
Amen. Are you looking forward to that day? Amen. All saints, He deserves all our praise, all our worship. Amen. He's so wonderful. He's so precious. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up and take up the offering? Praise His holy name. Amen. Ask the blessing if you
have.
Yes.
Thank You for Your goodness and Your word You've given us, Lord. I pray You bless us all from Your death and Your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day. What a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Amen. How many have requests for Him tonight? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you take the request?
Father, we'll heed that call, Lord.
that you read every bit of your
meaning. Yes, Father.
And pray, Father, that you remember us all the guys that you love.
Lord,
pray that you just place your hand upon him, Lord, and please just guide him and direct him, Lord, and let everything work out, Lord, for your honor and your glory. And we pray for others, Lord, that may be sick and afflicted tonight. You stretch forth your hand and touch them, Lord.
Yes.
Heal their bodies, Lord, that you might be able to be back in the service again, Lord, with us, Lord. And pray tonight as thy word comes forth that you anoint the message, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, God, that you just anoint his heart, my God, his mind, and his soul, Lord, and he might speak forth the word under the mighty unction and anointing of thy Holy Spirit,
yes,
Lord. And my God, may it strike our hearts, Lord. And cause us to draw closer to you. We pray, Father, that we ask these things all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. Did you have a song tonight, Karen? Anyone else in the congregation have one? Praise his holy name. Amen. All right. Praise his name. Well, let's all stand. All right. All right. Let's all stand. We ask Brother Tim if he'll come in. Amen. Sing a little chorus. Lord, I believe.
Yes.
Let's sing that. Amen. Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Amen with all my heart. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, precious he is. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, as we stand here tonight, Lord, and we sing that little song, Lord, may it truly be a reality in our hearts that, Lord, I believe. And Lord, all things are possible if only we'll believe you, Lord, and take you at your word. And Lord, let you dip into us all that you want us to be. Lord, we've gathered here tonight just to let you have your way and to speak to our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless your word. And Lord, move me out of the way. Just let me be a voice that can speak these things. And Lord, though as simple as it may it be of a help to someone, Lord, along the way. And Lord, maybe for some of us older ones that think we have it all, Lord, or maybe know this, not think we have it all, but think we already, but Lord, may it strengthen us as well, Lord, and cause an encouragement in our heart, Lord, to press, for Lord, we are truly marching down to the end of time, and Lord, we see the end inside, and we want to be ready and standing where you would have us be, Lord. Bless us now. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things.
Amen.
Oh, he's so precious. Amen. My, I just love him. You know, you just
been thinking about a lot of things the last few days. It almost causes an excitement inside of you. It's just an overwhelming joy sometimes. And you can almost understand why the prophet said, you know, oftentimes he'd get out there in the woods and he'd just run around a tree. And things just, when you begin to let your mind dwell upon what God's doing and what he's done, where he's brought you from, and all these things, how it just ought to cause such an excitement in our heart. But Maya, while you're still standing, if you'd turn with me to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to read some very familiar scriptures tonight. And just, it kind of laid on my heart at the last minute. I wasn't planning on it going this direction. And so I might maybe not have it all together just the way I would like to have had it. But the Lord, would just pray you'll put it together for us. Amen. And it's very simple, you know. Oftentimes, we just... It's wonderful when God blesses us with teaching, and he blesses us all along the way. But God knows what we have need of each step of our way. And sometimes, maybe I might be one that needs a special nugget, and God knows that. And every now and then, he'll drop by and give me that nugget that I needed. And God knows all about us. And for some reason, he's laid this up on my heart, and we're just going to talk about it tonight. And I just pray that some way, God will use it to help us. Amen. Here in Luke, the 24th chapter, and begin there at the, I wrote it down here. Amen. Here at Luke 24 and the 13th verse. Actually, this is the story where Jesus was on the road from Emmaus, and just to save a little time, he had rose from the dead and he was walking along the way. But let's drop down here and just catch the 25th verse, as they were all sad and lonely and telling him these things. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. May the Lord add the blessing of his word, and you may be seated. I often think of that scripture, O fools to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And my, we're living in such an age of unbelief and deceit and failure to see what God's doing. But I'd like to turn back to the book of Exodus, if you would, and just read some here in about the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Just kind of run a little line here and just pray that some way God will use this to help us this evening, you know. So many, let's just start here, be out the third chapter. Begin at the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midians, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, a bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither and put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, that when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Amen. And Maya, I want you just to stop and think for a moment. Yes. That children of Israel been down there for 400 years, toiling away in that old mud, stomping bricks, and they was waiting. They wanted that deliverance. And God sent Moses down there to deliver them. And he vindicated him thoroughly. He sent him down there, told him what to say, sent him to Pharaoh, and began the mighty signs and wonders that began to take place of all the plagues that happened. And all that began to take place down there in the land of Egypt. And boy, can you imagine the excitement in the children's heart of Israel as they began to see God move. Oh my, it was an exciting. Things were happening. They were getting out of there. They wasn't going to stomp bricks no more. They wasn't going to do all this, that, and the other no more. They were leaving. God was delivering them. He had sent them a deliverance. And they seen all of this, and all of them were excited. I'm sure every last one of them was jumping for joy. Amen. And I want you to look at the joy that was going throughout the camp. And my, finally Pharaoh told them, get them out of here, take them out of my sight. And my, even the Egyptians, if you read the story, the Egyptians give them things to take with them of gold and jewels and different things they would have need of. And they took all their flocks, and they started out on a journey because God had called them. Set them free. Yes. Sent Moses to them to lead them out. Amen. And my, they started out across the journey. Mm-hmm. All happy and excited. Because God had sent Moses. Yes. And God was going to deliver them. But I want you to notice, I want you to turn to Exodus, the 13th chapter. Praise. Amen. The 14th chapter, rather, of Exodus. And the very first test they come up against, I want you to watch the attitude that began to change right here. 14th chapter of Exodus in the 10th verse. And here they was, all excited. They were headed out of Egypt. And oh, what a joy. Moses was their leader. He had the staff, and God was leading them. And now it wasn't only Moses up there with a staff, but there was a pillar of fire in front of them. God was at the head of that. But they failed to miss. If you'll see here, it says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. But then they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away from Egypt? Saying, Have thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us this with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness? How quickly they forgot.
Yes, amen.
How quickly they forgot who brought them out of Egypt.
Amen.
And now God was in the lead and God was in front of them.
Yes.
But they reverted back to the man that was standing there that they could lay hold of. Mm-hmm. And that man, now he's guilty. Why did you bring us? Why did you lead us to this point where we're at today? And saints, we're in an age where people are falling off like flies because of this very situation that happened here. Moses didn't go down there and bring him out of his own free will. God sent him there. But people don't get their eye on God. They get their eye upon the man that God's using to bring them out. And they don't get it revealed to them in a fullness. If the children of Israel would have only realized and understood and had a revelation, God said he was going to take them out of there. And I just want to show you the attitude of two real quick. Because not all of them were like that. But here in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, preached July 28, 63, paragraph 276 on page 38. And when they'd come to that land, after all the, and there's many toils the children of Israel went through. Many things happened, and it was always Moses' fault. Moses, we ain't got nothing to eat. Moses, we ain't got nothing to drink. And God would feed them and make them happy and bless them. And it just, they forgot all about that every time something new came up. God sent them a, He sent serpents among them, and then they give them an atonement, and they didn't like that after a while. That was too much. Everything just began to fall off. But just like all them other spies that went over and looked at Canaan, they come over there and said, oh, we look like grasshoppers aside of them, and we can't take them. The Amalekites will, all of these, what are they going to do? And they went back. But Caleb and Joshua, being thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God. No, God had said. Now, they never said Moses said. They looked beyond that man and they saw the promise that God gave them through a man's lips. And said, I give you that land. They said, we are more than able to take it. But it depends on where you're born from. If you're born of the word of God, God's word has the preeminence in his church. And that's what he's died for. That's his purpose, that he might be able to achieve and to have his preeminence working in his church. Yes. And I'll stop there for a moment, and I want to turn here in the book of Matthew. Let me make sure. Yeah, we'll go to the book of Matthew first. Amen. To the 16th chapter. And just have this in your heart. And here Jesus had come. Actually, turn with me to John. 14th chapter, I believe it is. Our pastor just read this, actually. The other service there. John chapter 4. And let's just read this here. This is, our brother DeLong just mentioned this the other night when he was preaching, so I won't read the whole story. I believe he put it in your hearts, but I want you to think about this. It's where Jesus was talking to the little woman at the well. And she said, he'd done all he could do, but let's start pick up here at the 24th verse of the 4th chapter. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He identified himself. His works identified him first. And then he said, I am he. And now he done many signs and wonders all through his life, and mighty was the crowds that followed him, even up to the time when he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And many of them left. And the apostle Peter, he said, will you go also? And he said, where will we go, Lord? But Peter here, all of these others, Christ came and he was thoroughly identified, mighty signs and wonders. And Brother Branham, he mentioned it many times, how those Sadducees and Pharisees, they knew he was identified as that Messiah. He was that, they could see the works that was being done, the blind seeing, yes. The deaf heard, the lame walked. Yes. All of these things, they multiplied the fishes and all that had taken place, they seen that and all they were excited, the Messiah has come. Yes. And oh my, what a joy there was in the shout and the throngs followed him by the wayside till there was 5,000 on a hillside. But oh my, he began to bring the word and that them multitudes began to dwindle. Yes. And they began to... In the 13th verse, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Look at this now. They've been with him too. They've heard all that's been spoken. But yet when they were asked, well, some say, and some say, and some say, but not Peter, he said, and they said, some say Jeremiah is one of the prophets, and he saith, but whom say ye that I am? Yes. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, mine, a divine revelation. Oh my, something was sunk in. Yes. And oh my, only by the grace of God did that happen. And a predestinated seed already laying down on the inside. Hallelujah. But that's the age we're living in, saints. Now we've come. And I want to just bring it on up to our day. And read something that our brother Branham came on the scene. And we all believe he was the Malachi 4. Yes. And it's easy to say, I believe he was a prophet. It's easy to say, I'm following Brother Branham. And many do. And many make that claim. Just as many claimed Jesus was the Messiah. And oh, they followed him by the thousands until he began to speak. And then they didn't like it no more. And he wasn't the Messiah at that point no longer. But I want you to stop and think here. God always vindicates. And how Brother Branham, when he was born, how the light came over the bedroom. And then as he was, I think he was about 7 years old, and down at the tree, he heard a voice speak out of that tree. It told him not to smoke, drink, defile his body in any way. At 7 years old and not even understanding what was taking place. Amen. And then to begin to have visions at a very young age and see things. And you know, one of the earliest visions he had was right after. That's when he talked about seeing those 16 men fall off of that bridge. I believe it was 16. And he told that vision. And as he comes up through, many believed he was a prophet. Now they see a prophetic gift. And I want you to, this is in the Message Absolute, preached January 27, 1963. And I'm going to start about paragraph 291. I walked out in the water and I took a candidate, about the 17th person, to baptize him. And I had around 500 after my revival to be baptized. And I walked out in the water with this person and I started to raise my hand and I said, Heavenly Father, as I, and about that time something shook me. And I thought, where is it? And I looked around and everybody had their heads bowed. And oh, so far as I could see, way back up on the banks, there was old cars and peoples piled all over the walls and things. And I looked again and I heard a voice say, look up. And I was afraid to look up. I was just a kid. And we got a picture of it. And I said, Father. And something said, look up. And I put my hand down this young fellow I was to baptize and looked at him, me in the face. And he said, well, Brother Bill. And I said, did you hear that? And he said, no. And I said, Heavenly Father. And he said, look up. And I looked up like this. And coming down from the skies come a pillar of light whirling around. And a voice coming from it, roaring, coming down, said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, so are you sent. And oh God, I watched that light. I had seen it since a little boy. And I tried to tell people and they said, you're out of your mind. But the scientific research, the late George Lacy, when he examined, when he took the picture of it, there it was, just the same. And it showed in that picture scientific proof that it's right. And to me, it's never told me one thing, but it's exactly on this scripture. And when I seen that fire and heard it and seen everybody screaming and fainting and falling and looking there and pointing to that light, the paper, the Louisville paper, packed a great article and it went on the Associated Press all through Canada and everywhere. Mystic light appears over a local Baptist minister while baptizing. Mystic, hard to understand. How many times have they took it? Practically every person in here, I guess, got it in your home. It's there in Washington, D.C., copyrighted as the only supernatural being that was ever photographed. Scientifically photographed. What was it? That same light, that same voice that spoke and said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same voice to me. It's the same pillar of fire that was back yonder, because it's doing the same works. Jesus said, I come from God and I go to God, and a little while and the world will see me no more. He came and he said, when he was here on earth at the feast, he said, I am that I am. And oh my, by God's grace, we should each as individuals be able to look and begin to see that manifestation. Many seen it. Many was there the day that happened. And many claimed to follow a prophet. Many claimed that they liked all the mighty signs and wonders God began to do. Oh, they followed and flocked and went with that prophet wherever he went and every place he could go. They was right there by the thousands, watching God move and watching God work. Amen. And God was, what was God doing? Listen here in the Evening Messenger, page 35, paragraph 249. Notice, this was preached in 61. This was preached January 16th, 1963. Notice, the end time messenger, his job will be to get the saints ready and the bride ready for the bridegroom. And that will be his message. Now you want to learn ABCs so you can study algebra later. And when these other seals on the back is open, they'll only be revealed to them. That's right. Learn ABC first. What is ABC? Always believe Christ, not your creed. Amen. Christ, see? Glory. Believe what he says, not what somebody else says. Amen. What hindered them in the day of Moses? God told him he was going to give them the land, but look at all the different ones that raised up and give Moses obstacle. You think you're the only pebble on the beach? You think you're the only one God deals with? You think you're the only one that's got revelation? Bring it down to Jesus' day. You think you're the only one spiritual? The same thing happened again with those religious people. When the word began to come, oh, we ain't, our book says this, and our creed says this. And oftentimes it becomes that way in our lives. Maybe we're raised in a church, maybe we're not raised in a church, but my way of life, my way of doing things, God's word begins to come and begins to step on my toes. And maybe it begins to pinch and try to shave. But because am I going to be like the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, because my creed says, and because I, this is the way I was raised, this is what I believe, I'm not going to give God an opportunity to shave that off of me? Am I going to take that attitude and stand as they did? But there's a people that's been predestinated to go all the way with Christ. Amen. And in this day when everybody is looking for signs and wonders, and on top of that, they're looking at all that's going on throughout the land, and they see everything that's taking place. They see all these Israels back in the homeland, and the blood moons that happen, and it all happens for a reason. And God uses signs of time to show where he's at. But how Satan, he knows that's right. But how he uses signs of the time to deflect people's attention from what God is trying to do for his bride and in his bride. And they can get blinded by the light of, oh, we're following the prophet and he said this was going to happen and we know we're right. But what did Brother Branham say that sign of the rapture was? Here in, this is in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Here on page, you see here. It's on page, paragraph 537. In Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And it's actually on page 71. He said his body was not held in the grave, recognized with him in the resurrection, same as he is now. Listen, which means this, his word, which he is, has been risen. The word that down through the age of Luther, Wesley, see, has begun to raise up in its power. And there it began to move, and it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. See, watch. Now think of what our pastor's been bringing, the exact life. And you look at the messages that's been coming. And you know, you may, in our hearts, maybe we don't say it audibly, but in our hearts we might think, why does the word have to come so hard all the time? Why does God keep doing this? And many times the children of Israel wondered the same thing. Why do we have to go across the Red Sea? Why do we have to stay here tonight? Why do we have to camp there? Why do we have to have no water? Why have we got to eat the manna over here? But God had a purpose for every step they took. Every step they took, God had a purpose in it, but they couldn't look beyond that it was God that was leading them. Amen. They kept just looking at the man that was standing there, and it's his fault. It's the man's fault, and you can bring that down to today. You can bring it down to, you can blame your pastor that you're not getting where you need to be in God. You can blame some other man for your problems and your faults. You can pull it all, but God's leading you. If God's genuinely led you, and you say, the children of Israel, everyone said, God took us out of Egypt. But then it was Moses' fault that they got where they was. Yes. And if God called you out of wherever you was, then it's God that's dealing with your heart. It's not man. And that's where we must never put man in the picture. I'm not following Brother Branham. I'm not following Brother DeLong or any other pastor to say, I'm following this, I'm following Brother so-and-so. I'm following God. God puts men in their place to bring the word that I might receive what he has for me. Just like he did with Moses. God spoke to Moses. He said, take this Ten Commandments down to the children of Israel. And Moses picked them up and away he went. And that's the same way God has dealt down through the ages. He sent John the Baptist on the scene to forerun Christ. And he sent his message. And people looked at him a wild man. They didn't understand him. But they got their eyes on him. And then he said, I must decrease so that God, Christ, can increase. And then Jesus come on the scene and oh, they loved him. They matched the scripture perfectly. But then when he began to speak the word that they needed, now he didn't no longer match the scripture in their eyes. It was no longer what they wanted to hear. That he done and got off. The same way as they've done with our prophet in this day. They started out great. Oh, he's a prophet. But the minute you say there is no changing of the soul, you've rejected him as being a prophet. Amen. The minute you say there is no such thing as marriage and divorce, you've rejected him as being a mouthpiece of God. Amen. The minute you take one word he spoke, that it has to be exact, it has to be the literal, it has to be just so, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The minute you reject one piece, you've rejected William Branham as being the prophet God sent in this day. And that was the man. We say we're following Brother Branham, but we're following God. God called us out, but God sent us a messenger. And he sent it to individuals. And that individual has got to have a revelation that it's God speaking to them, not a prophet. And that's why so many today, they're trying to find fault. Well, I need someone to prove to me that his visions came true. I need someone to prove to me that the cloud was supernatural. It doesn't matter. You know, to a true, genuine elect, they don't need no proof. They don't have to see to believe. Hey, man, you know, it comes by faith. And out here in the message, an absolute. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong message. Hey, message. Man, this is in the message. Look. Hey, man, I don't believe I finished. Let me finish reading this real quick in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. I kind of stopped half sentence, I think. Hey, man. He says, it began to move. It moved right up. It come into identification. See, watch now. To the life in the body is a vindication that the rapture is at hand. Amen. When you see the headship and the body becoming one, Amen. The same reflection, not a different reflection, but the same reflection, and the fullness of the measure of his manifestation shows that body is about ready to be received Amen. To the headship. Amen. That's why that prophet came, and that's what he was doing, was preparing that little bride. That's why he was sent. He was sent here to prepare a people that they would be in that exact image. They would be honed down by the word that prophet brought. It's not the word your pastor's bringing that's honing you. It's the word that God brought that he gave to the pastor to bring, and it keeps doing the honing. But oftentimes because I get pinched or because maybe it steps on my toes, I get a hard feeling about it. And I just tell you, that man don't know. That's what the children of Israel done to Moses. It was all Moses' fault now. It was his fault that they built a golden calf. It was their fault they fell into this. It was his fault that they got into all they got into. But God was at the head of the thing the whole time. But they couldn't keep their eyes on him. But it takes revelation and a faith. You don't have to see. I don't need no one to prove to me. I don't have to go try to find somebody that can tell me they was on the bank of that river that day when that light appeared up there and that voice spoke and all them people. I don't need no one to tell me that. Amen. I don't have to have that proved to me. I don't have to drive to Jeffersonville to see where the prophet bought candy. I don't have to go to his grave and look at it to know that he was a prophet. Amen. God revealed. Peter didn't have to go running and ask anybody else if Jesus was the Christ. It was revealed to him and he knew it. Amen. It was solid in his heart that it was given. Yes, but listen here, this is in the message. Look, preached April 28th, 1963. Brother, talking about Abraham here now. Brother Abraham, I guess you could call him. Amen. Yes. Paragraph 94. For faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see the thing. The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and Holy Ghost. It's all unseen. And the Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eye. He looks to what he sees with his faith. And his faith can only be based upon one thing, and that's the Word. And now I feel like a shouting Baptist. Yes, sir. See, when you get to that Word, that's the living thing. That's the Word. When your mind and eyes can be single to that Word and focus that in till you see exactly what God is doing, what a wonderful thing. Amen. Abraham saw it. He did not look to any of the misunderstandings of the promise. God had told him, you're going to have a son. That was the word to Abraham. You will have a son. Amen. Abraham saw it. He did not look to any of the misunderstandings of the promise. What he would have looked and said, here I am, 75 years old, and such a voice spoke to me and said I'm to have a baby by my wife, and she's 65 years old, about 15, 20 years past menopause. What would he have done? But what did he do? He never paid any attention to what the natural things was. He looked at what God said.
Yes.
And it becomes such a reality to him till he didn't see nothing else but what God said.
Amen.
And he left his home. He separated himself from all unbelief and anything that would try to pull him away. And he separated himself so he could walk alone. And that's what every genuine believer has to do, is separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers and walk with Christ. It's life to you. And Abraham did such a thing. And 25 years later, we find him still believing the same promise. He didn't have to go, Lord, you need to prove to me that you promised me. No, it was still burning in his heart. God said, I'm going to have a son.
Yes.
It never wavered. It never left his mind. Well, I wonder if he forgot me. I wonder if he forgot. You know? And he says, Abraham, and believe it. And if we can focus ourselves to the plan of God, to what God wants for us and what God promised us, let everything else alone, no matter how long it is, just keep believing. Romans 4, we find in 4:14, it said, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He looked to one thing, and that was the voice that spoke to him.
Amen.
And that's what the church ought to do today. Look to the one thing, the voice, the word of God that speaks to us. Churches and people can speak any way, but look to the voice. What are we looking at? He looked to that voice that spoke to him. He called everything contrary to that voice as though it wasn't. And yet materially it was far out of focus with the world as Noah's time was. It was just as far out of focus. But because why? Noah's time, they couldn't prove that there was rain up there. But Noah knew that. And if God said so, he was able to put rain up there.
Amen.
And God said he would have a bride and he would rapture that bride in this day.
Yes,
and the signs of the time are proven that we're coming to the end of time. But I'm not. But in my heart, I don't need someone to prove to me now that the prophet was right. If I've got to have someone prove to me now that he was right in what he said, if I need it that bad, prove to me that the cloud is supernatural or this thing took place just the way it did. Something's lacking in my life. I don't have the revelation of what God said. And if someone can walk up to me and convince me that William Branham was not the mouthpiece of God in this day, something's wrong. And if someone can take away from the word and totally run it under the ground and totally say it contrary to what the prophet said and it doesn't bother me, something's wrong.
Amen.
Because the genuine Holy Ghost on the inside, it won't tolerate it. So many today say, oh, we're all one. We should all fellowship. It's okay if you believe that way and it's okay if I believe this way. No, it's not okay. It wasn't okay when the children of Israel come out of Egypt. It wasn't okay when God told them to separate themselves. It wasn't okay then, and it ain't okay now.
Amen.
But we must follow God as He is leading us. He separated a people for a purpose.
Glory.
One here, one there. There'll never be a church group that's going to be that. But there's individuals within that. But within those individuals, God placed ministry where those little individuals would get placed where they could get what they needed. Where God would minister to them the word that it took to take them the rest of the way in.
Yes,
oh, my saints, how we ought to cry out to God to reveal to us what we need.
Amen.
There are so many promises that could belong to the little bride of Jesus Christ.
Oh,
but are we letting them go because of something we've heard in the past? Something somebody said. We don't have a revelation of it. And we think we do, therefore we never cry out for it and God never reveals it to us. It's easy to say, by my stripes, I'm healed. And we say that, and we may say that, and we may say that, and the healing never comes because it hasn't been revealed to us. But oh my, what of all of these things God has? All of the word, that we would be exactly like Him. That little bride in this day, the prophet said that if she placed the word upon her lips, it would be the same as deity speaking. And if you had a direct need, if I was out with a brother and I saw that brother maybe cut his leg clean off, and I knew that little bride would have the authority to touch that if need be, and it be made whole. Not to magnify her or glorify her, but that is the checkbook in your hand that he talked about in Why Christ Speak. This is the promises that God has placed to you. Your child is sick and needs a healing. You don't have to run to the doctor. You may have to go, but God is still there to get the glory from it when it happens.
Yes.
But oh my, are we crying out to to be that exact with God? Or are we just content? We got our sticks and our shoes on and we're trudging along through the desert with everybody else. But oh my, Joshua and Caleb didn't have that attitude. They were looking out yonder at that land that was full of milk and honey and clusters of grapes that took two men to carry. That's what they had their eye on. And they got there. Amen. But oh my, don't be distracted with the things that takes place down here. But it's got to be a revelation to you that Jesus Christ sent you a messenger. Not just, oh, he was a prophet. That's wonderful. But it's got to be revealed to you that God was speaking to you. My husband might tell me one thing, and I might want to believe it. But if it's contrary to what God said, then I'm going to take what's in here. My wife may try to tell me something to help me along the way. And it may sound good, and it may make me feel a little better. But if it's contrary to what God put in his word, I'm going to leave it go and take what he said in here.
Amen.
But we must follow Christ all the way and let him have the full preeminence in our lives. It's him that we're following. It's him that called us people for his work. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. But I want to read this here. You sisters can come to the instruments if you will. I'll close. Amen. Oh my, this is in the message. Look also, paragraph 271. And this is where he was talking about the young man that was in jail and he was going to be hung. And I believe it was his mother had went to the governor. And the governor went down to give him a pardon.
Yes.
But I want you to just listen. As he begins here, the man had built up a complex just about like the church has done today. You'll either preach it the way I like it, or you won't hear it at all. I won't pay no attention. And sat there, and man after man had come to him and tried to talk to him. And he'd built himself till he wasn't going to hear no more. And you can sit in a church pew and do the same thing. You can close yourself off to God just because some little ill feeling you had, something you didn't like, something that's happened on the journey out of Egypt, something that maybe caused you some heartache, something that's caused you pain, and you can come and you can sit right in a service and you can harden your heart and you can sit there and you ain't going to hear nothing. I ain't going to hear it. I ain't going to worship. I don't want to hear it. And you may say, I don't feel that way, but you begin to understand it'll become a hindrance in the service and it'll begin to show. It's manifested. It's not hid. And you begin to see that no more enthusiasm. When the word comes forth, there's no more enthusiasm to really hear the word. It just becomes, oh well, he's preaching again. When it's God speaking to his people. And if you're elect, every word that spoke, you may not like the mailman. But if it's coming out of God's word, if you're elected, it's for you. And you got to get over, oh, I don't like it because so-and-so preaches it this way. I don't like it because it comes this way. I can't help that. When God sends it, it comes. And however God sends it, that's how we're going to get it. But we each one ought to be here so humble and so, and make sure that we don't harden our hearts against the Lord.
Amen.
It's like the children of Israel did. Well, I have to eat manna again. I ain't going to want to eat it. I ain't got to sit here and eat this. Don't harden your heart, but be tender. God is wanting to move and he's wanting to work, but everything has to be in his hands. And you must be yielded to him. But I want you to listen now. And so the governor walked in and he said, son, I'd like to talk to you. He said, shut up and get out of here in his cell. He said, son, I've come to help you. He said, I told you to get out of here. And that's the way people does the Holy Spirit today. Get out. I don't want nothing to do with it. And it knocks at the door. If I do that, I'll have to give up my card party. I'll have to give up this. I'll have to give up that. I'll have to give up my church creed. I'll have to give. See, you better listen. He's the only one that has got a pardon. That's right. What are you looking at? He had looked at so many things, and he was afraid to look at this man, and he kept his head turned. And that's the way people do today at altar call. They keep their head turned. They don't want to hear it. They turn their head from God, who is telling him it's the truth. A little wee voice like a touch. You know, Elijah, he heard the rushing wind, blood, fire, and smoke, and it didn't bother him. But when he heard that little voice, he come out. And oh, that little voice the church has failed to hear. So the man tried his best. The governor tried to talk to the boy, and the boy said, are you going to get out of here, or am I going to throw you out? And turned around and said, all right, son, I've done the best I could do. And when he walked out, the boy looked around kind of arrogant as he walked down through the hall. And when he did, one of the guards stepped out and said, "Governor, did you do any good?" And he said, "Nope." He wouldn't listen. And that boy jumped up and he grabbed the bars and he said, "Who was that?" And they said, "That was the governor come for your pardon." Too late then, he screamed and he cried. He said, "Think of it, the governor here in my own cell to pardon me." And I turned him down. And when they put the rope around his neck before the black mask on, and after he had walked the 13 steps, the last words he said, "Think of it, the governor stood in my cell for pardoning, and I turned him down." And they hung him. And saints, God is standing in our midst every service. With a, not just here, God's word has went around this world. Many people pick him up and they hold him and they read him every night maybe. And they read him every day. And they think they're following him, but they're missing the point that God said he called for a total separation from unbelief. Amen. And that he wanted a people solely sold out to him, yielded in his control and in his preeminence, that he would be their first love.
Amen.
That everything they do would be because of him and for him. Where do we measure up? Do I realize God is speaking to me? Or do I think I'm just following Brother Branham? I'm following the pastor of this church, or I'm following the pastor of that church. And oh, we're all going to make it to heaven. It ain't going to happen. You know, here not too long ago, many of you probably seen it, the thing that happened with the Catholics and the Protestant church where they come together. And the Catholic bishop that came here, he got up and he said that he was coming in the spirit of Elijah of Malachi 4. And he was going... And they were going to merge the two churches. And it was over the argument of the scripture in Ephesians 4. I believe it was where, is a man saved by works or by faith? And they signed this great big compromise. And they signed this letter that they would all be brothers. And you know, and all how the people in this message have took to that. And oh, that's the mark of the beast coming. And it is. It's the move of that council coming together. But they don't realize it, but in our own midst, they're signing the same treaty. Oh, it's okay. It's okay for us to disagree on it, but we'll shake hands and make a pact that we can agree that it's all right to do this. And it's moving all in, but that little bride will not be caught in that. Amen. That little bride's not going to be part of that because she's heard the message of the day. That message of the hours, we sing that little song, "I've heard the word from my day."
Amen.
I didn't hear it because some man told me that's the word of the day. But somehow God, before the foundation of the world, placed a little gene down on the inside.
Amen.
And in due time, he placed me in the right place where he could pour out the water of his word upon it.
Amen.
And it sprouted to life.
Glory.
The same as I pray each one of us as individuals can see that in our hearts and our lives.
Yes.
That I'm not just a Christian because I want to be a Christian, or because I think it's right, or because it's always been this way. Or I'm following so-and-so, or I'm doing it for this. But is it a personal revelation to you? Oh my, even you younger children that are coming up. Your mommy and daddy, my children. You say, "Oh, daddy's serving this message. What if I fall aside?" Where are you going to stand? You're going to have to stand and answer on Judgment Day as well. And daddy's not going to be there to hold your hand. Mommy's not going to be there to hold her hand. You've got to make your own calling and election sure.
Amen.
And know that you know that Jesus Christ is walking with you and in you and leading you along life's path. You know, it's wonderful to be children and have a time of growing up and playing, but then life begins to happen as we begin to get older. And we begin to reach an age of maturity, and load comes. And mommy and daddy won't always be there to be leaned on. But you've got to know. And now's that time. The Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the King of Kings, is walking through the mist.
Amen.
And he's always here whenever you want to give him your heart.
Yes.
Or whenever you're willing to give him your life.
Amen.
But you can't give it to a man. And a man can't lay hands on you and tell you you got it. But only God can give eternal life.
Amen.
Oh my. And I pray that each one of us will know without a shadow of a doubt, seeking out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And in this day, oh my, may we pray harder than we ever have.
Yes.
That God will have his perfect way in our lives.
Amen.
There is an exactness. There is a perfectness. A full stature of the measure of Christ.
Amen.
That we must be honest that we've never achieved. and we've never seen it in the fullness in our lives the way it should have been. But God has called a people for that.
Yes.
And oh my, by God's grace, I see my name was in that number.
Amen.
God spoke to me and said, you're mine. And I'm going to take you home one of these days.
Hallelujah.
And oh my, may we give our hearts and lives to God and let Him truly take us in our hands.
Amen.
And just work us till we may be nothing. If I'm hard-hearted, break it, Lord. May I cry out to be humble and tender. You know, I can remember many times when we even all first started gathering here. Things were a lot more tender than they seem to be now. Things seem to be a little softer than they are now. Oh, am I one that's maybe become a little hard? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying let's ask God. Lord, is there a place that break me down, Lord? That I can feel that still, small voice speak to me. I may be wrong, but Lord, give me the grace to admit I'm wrong. And say, Lord, I need you. Lift me up. It's a bad state when you reach a spot where the word comes and really we know we're wrong, but we just won't give to it. We just won't yield and let God mold us. And then all of our testimony that we're following a prophet is now become in vain. Or I'm following the word. Oh my, may we give our all to Christ. Let's all stand up. I've held you long enough. Amen. I didn't mean to dampen you, but saints, it's an exciting time. And God has got so much more. But do we really want it? Are we truly a people that's hungering? Like that early church, when you stop and think, look at the desires they had. Look at the zeal they had. Look at the drives and the all that they had. Do we have that? Is that burning that great in my heart? Or am I just one that's, I'm just kind of plodding along. We're going to get to that promised land one of these days. Oh my. But no, I pray there's a burning challenge.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus. Set me on fire. Amen.
Yes.
Ask
Amen.
Our brother to come.
Down inside of me a fire is burning, and in my heart I have such a yearning for it to be more than just a spark or a little flame. Consume me, Lord, show your love can show. Set me on fire with your power from above. Set me on fire with your precious holy love. It's my desire. Oh, I want the world to see your love burning through me. Set me on fire. Set me on fire with your power from above. Set me on fire with your precious holy love. It's my desire. Oh, I want the world to see your love burn.
Amen. Hallelujah. One more time.
Set me on fire with your power from above. Set me on fire with your precious holy love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Saints, is against popular opinion to believe every word in this day. It's become the fanatic to separate yourself from other believers because they don't believe the word. And it's become that little bride begins to look like the bad guy. That little bride, because they'll take a stand on every word, now they don't fellowship. You don't want to be part of that group. You don't want to be numbered in that number. Oh, they think they're better than everybody else. That ain't the case at all. I ain't better than anyone. But God's word must uphold a standard. And when you get around and you see simple words like the wife's ruling every husband in the church, and it's the woman is always in control, it's against every word in that Bible. It's against all the scripture. It's out of continuity. And that's just one little word, you might say. But look how it's escalated and how much is being taken away and chopped off. And oh my, yeah, the spirit falls when they have a service. And oh, many might dance and sing, and maybe someone will get healed. Oh, Satan can impersonate any gift God's got. But he can't match that life. He can't match and live that holy life that Jesus Christ is looking for, that he said that bride would have. That little bride made herself ready and she sat there. She might not, wasn't quite the prettiest. She may not have had the most, and she sat there already. He said he'd be here to get me. He said he was coming. And all the others said, oh, he wouldn't come for you. He ain't coming for you. He's coming for us. Look what we got. Look how nice our dresses are. Look how nice our singing is. Look how sweet and pretty our voices are. But oh, he said he was coming, and the old carriage rolled around the corner and he took her home. And saints, it's going to happen like a thief in the night. He's going to catch that little bride away, and they're going to be ready. And not only will they be ready, but they'll be looking and longing and loving the appearing of the Lord. And their eyes ain't going to be all over the rest of this world looking to see what's going on. They're watching their life to see where they're at. They're making sure that spirit's not defiled. He said he's coming. I just got to be ready. Amen. He said he'd take care of everything else, and everything else will fall in place where it belongs. But I got to be ready. Let me make sure. Oh, may I be one that's looking. Amen. Sing it again. Set me on fire with your power from above. Set me on fire.
Be the desire of every one of our hearts. Set us on fire. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory. I want to read a scripture with what Brother Timothy was saying there. You know, as he was saying there, even toward the end, you know, a lot of people think we're fanatics. A lot of people don't want to have fellowship with us because of staying with the Word.
Amen.
But one thing about it, when you know you can stay with the Word, that's when there's a shout in the camp. When you know you're in the truth, you know the truth sets you free.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for the truth. But as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians and the 6th chapter, 14th verse, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me for people to think that, well, praise God, you know, we can't fellowship ever because they don't believe like we do. No, I don't believe like they do. I don't believe in leaving anything of the Word go. I believe in holding to every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. That's what makes me separate from them. And that's what makes them separate from me. Because they don't want nothing to do with that every word of God.
Amen.
Oh my, and I'll assure you, if we open the door to unbelief, we could have every preacher in the countryside come here to preach for us. I'll assure you we could. But give them the word test and see where they're at. Amen. There's very few then that'll come. And I know sitting right here, some don't believe that. Some do not believe that we should not fellowship with anything that comes along. That's you. As the Lord Jesus himself said, as Brother Timothy was mentioned, I'll say this along with what Jesus said. It's been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom.
Amen.
Many here has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but not everyone has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. I'm telling you, it is going to get, I'll say it again, that sun is going to get hot. And only the true bride of Jesus Christ is going to stand. The pillar of fire has been here to vindicate that he's here and he's guiding a people. Not all can see, but some can see. But God is here. Not the man, it is God, the Holy Ghost, taking his people in a rapture. And only those that have eyes to see will be able to go in that rapture. Oh, God help us. I'm telling you, it's getting close. And I'll give you one little hint again by the Holy Ghost that'll get that Holy Ghost setting you on fire. And that's to truly lay aside all the cares of this life, and God shall move in your heart.
Amen.
But again, we become all tangled up in the cares of life, and it chokes us, and we become unfruitful. And the Holy Ghost can't move. The Holy Ghost can't set our feet a dancing, can't set our hearts aglow, because we've got too many things of the world on our mind. Too many things. Instead of meditating on God and God's will and his purpose in our lives be done, we're meditating on constantly how to do this and how to make this and how to build this, where to hunt that and where to fish this and all. Why? Our minds is tangled with it.
Amen.
When our whole heart's desire should be centered on things above and not on things of the earth.
Amen.
Oh my. May we listen and hearken.
Amen.
May you listen to what was said tonight.
Amen.
Through that message you brought. Sure. People's going to do just exactly like they did the children of Israel did. What's the burden of the Lord for the day? What's the burden of the Lord today? I can't have joy because I'm always getting skinned. Skinning ought to be joy because it's removing all the sin out of your life. That's where joy ought to be. But no, we want to be too much like the world, too much like some kind of a past religion. Somebody told me something in the past. And we can't just go to the Word. What did the Word say? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love you people. But I am determined to take this Word and to tell you and give you the whole counsel of it. And I know then the true bride of Jesus Christ is going to run with it. And she's going to let it lead her life and have the preeminence of her life. I know it's going to be. God promised it, and he'll not fail to keep his promise. Hallelujah. Oh, set me on fire. Fire from above. But if you want to know how to do it, throw all the cares of life away. Don't you let it choke you away. Yes, we must do things. We must keep a roof over our head. We must have an automobile to drive. We must have food to eat. But we don't have to dwell on it and think about it. No, we don't. We should be meditating on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praying. We need to learn more what prayer is all about.
Amen.
Talking to the Lord. Meditating instead of talking to everybody else. Yeah. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Yeah. Can we match it? But you know, if you don't talk much, people think you're cranked up something wrong. When you're constantly thinking about what God's looking at, what's he expecting? What's he looking for? What should be happening now?
Amen.
What should be going on right now in our midst?
Amen.
Oh my. Maybe you're satisfied in the spot you're in. I'm not. There's a higher height to climb.
Amen.
By God's grace, I'm going to reach it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my.
Amen.
If you want to go, let's go.
Amen.
But we've got to listen to what God said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can't do as Brother Timothy was bringing it out tonight. We can't be like they was back in Israel. Murmuring, complaining. Oh, God done all those mighty things for them. And then they begun to complain and murmur and all getting sad and all weary-eyed and all that. No, press on.
Amen.
Press on. Don't make a difference what people think. Press on anyway.
Amen.
Press on.
Amen.
Run. Give your heart to God. You say, well, I gave my heart to God. I'm born again. Give your heart to God.
Amen.
Destroy all the cares of life.
Yes.
Now we're talking about giving your heart to God.
him being your first love. How about people just want to be a Christian? I'm a believer. Like Brother Timothy was mentioning, I'm a believer. I follow Brother Branham's message. So what? So what? What about following God?
Amen.
That spoke through that prophet's message. Hallelujah. Following everything he said. And I trust before we even leave tonight, it'll be stirring your heart again.
Amen.
Brother Timothy mentioned it. Exact. I trust the Holy Ghost will burn that and brand it in your heart like you've never had it before.
Amen.
I don't care if you got it and say, I've got it, Brother Steve. I believe that. I believe that's what it should be. Prove it.
Amen.
Show it. But it's got to be exact. That's how people know. There's no one can prove that through you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You'll see it in your life when you begin to want to see it exact. It's got to be exact. 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 But until then, let this slide, let that slide, let this slide, let this slide, let this slide. Our minds wandering off like a bunch of wild canaries that's been turned loose. Yeah. But oh my, you'll see your body being conformed to his image. When you really do or really understand what you say you understand, what you say you believe, then you'll see it happen. And that's what God's interested in. Seeing it manifested. That's what it's all about, it manifesting. Being vindicated in your life, in my life. Vindicated, proven, not talked about. Yeah. I've come to the point I don't pay much attention to what people say. No. Show me. Let me see it. Not what we can say. Let me see it. Not what you can sing. Let me see it. It's what God's interested in. Showing him. Let it be seen that he's alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. I don't mean to be this way, saints. But I'm telling you, we're getting close to the appearing of the Lord. Oh my. And I feel something in my heart. Something's going to have to happen. There's going to be a bride pulled right out of this little place right here. And I'm almost sure everybody won't. I'm almost sure of that. But somebody will. Somebody will. Because not everybody in here is going to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, body, soul, mind, spirit, and strength. Not everybody in here is going to be able to push aside all the cares of life. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. It's going to choke them. It's going to choke them. And they'll get tangled with it, and they'll get burdened and despondent, and they'll feel like quitting, and they'll just get so discouraged. Yeah. Oh my. Dear God. If anything, take us home, Lord. Take us home. But we've got to be ready.
Amen.
I know we've been here a long time this evening. So what? Still ain't 9 o'clock. Still ain't 9 o'clock. I pray we will press on, saints. Amen. God help us. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, we know that you've been here with us. And Lord, no doubt, probably if we had eyes to see, we would see something, Lord, that maybe would scare us. But Lord, you're here. You're here. And it's not given to everybody to see. I understand that, Lord. And as we mentioned what you said to your disciples, it was given them to know. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, there's a people here that's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And Lord Jesus, she's going to know exactly what you want done. And she is determined, Lord, to not let the cares of life choke her. She's determined. She's determined not to let anything sidetrack her, any discourage her, Lord, cause her to take a wrong path. She's determined. Oh, she's determined. And you have placed that determination in her heart. And Father, I pray that you'll continue to build that greater in my heart. Build it in the heart of your elected that's standing here tonight with me. Oh, God. Lord Jesus.
As the little song our brother started, Lord, set me on fire. I pray, oh God, somehow. I realize, Lord, it'll only be the grace of God if you could set us all on fire. But Lord, maybe not. And maybe not so. But Lord, that predestinated seed laying here, oh God, may you set it on fire. Lord, may this be the most important thing in her life. I'm sure, Lord, I know the rest will feel, they'll think I'm fanatic. They'll come to a point, Lord, they'll think, why in the world did I ever leave there and come to here? Why did I ever do it? It'd been better if I'd stayed there. It'll be happening, Lord. All those types and shadows, Lord, wasn't for no reason at all. It's happening today. Oh God, help us to see. You're a living God. Your word is true. It's alive. Nothing's done by mistake. Everything's done exactly, perfectly, exactly right. Perfection. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help the believers, Lord. Help the predestined seed to see, Lord, everything you give them to see. To help us to quickly now get ready for the appearing of the Lord. Quickly. Lord, desire to see this great work finished in our lives. Grant that, Lord. I love you, Father. I love you, Lord. Help me to see everything you want me to see. Help me to bring everything you want me to bring. It's hard on this flesh, Lord. Sometimes it's a great load to carry. But I know you'll give me the strength. You'll give me the courage, Lord. Whatever it takes, not my will, but thine be done. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Oh, I love him. Let's sing that little chorus, Mercy Rewrote My Life. I trust it'll keep right on rewriting it. Amen. To match every word of God. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul. You're dismissed. Amen.